Okay, make sure you're in fellowship as here Jacob is expounding upon his work ethics as evidence in regards to not being the spiritual derelict. Otherwise, Laban has so implied. He emphasizes the tenure of observation, 20 years, that can be made to critique what he is saying in regards to how he has dealt with his uncle Laban and the property and his responsibilities under contract and otherwise in this respect. And we see that Laban basically was a very stingy individual. He did not do anything to help or benefit basically Jacob in regards to his own livelihood. He did everything he could to put and keep the money in his pocket without extending any grace towards Jacob otherwise. And Jacob goes on and he repeats the emphasis of this 20 years that he's been with him in verse 41. Again, point 41, Jacob again makes reference to these 20 years. Here as reference to his close association with Laban, applying under his authority, hence the phrase, "I have been in your house." So 42, now this does not demand that Jacob shared living quarters with Laban. Only they resided on Laban's property would be as accessible as if living in his home. Could have translated that by his house as well as in his house. So obviously doesn't mean that they had the same roof over their head. Could have separate living quarters, but the idea, he's on Laban's property, he's under Laban's authority in this respect. So 43, Jacob then breaks down the period of 20 years in view here in re-emphasis into first the 14, the Reba Esara, 4 and 10, of contract terms for his wives, and then the final 6, Shesh in Hebrew, just completed for the means to have his own business. So, why the breakdown? 44, this emphasizes his integrity and honesty in fulfilling obligations, the contracts, his agreements with Laban, to others legally and morally. 45, it shows acclimation to authority in terms of true respect and orientation. Something lacking with Laban in his attitudes towards Bible doctrine and God. All men are under authority, whether they recognize it or not. Obviously, Jacob was under Laban's authority, especially in terms of the contractual obligations. But Laban also, even though he may have been the head of the house, was also under authority, and that's the authority of God, Bible doctrine as a believer, which he obviously dismissed great chunks of it in importance. So 46, in contrast then to Jacob's integrity, he continues, "You changed my wages 10 times. In spite of how honest and forthright Jacob was, Laban changed his wages 10 times. Shelath ha mesakoreth asarah moneh. 47, Jacob here throws the, quote, rebuke hammer, end quote, in Laban's face that he expounded upon with his wives back in verse 7. We find out in his discussion with his wives of giving him reason why he is leaving the way he is leaving and making sure they're on the same page, that their father basically was fraudulent in regards to how he presented the terms of the contract. Yeah, your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. to them. He continues, however, God did not allow him to hurt me. So 48, the rebuke in turn exemplifies Jacob's spiritual growth over the years. As he expressed to his wives that in spite of Laban's actions, God did not allow him to hurt me. There it showed orientation in spite of the oppression. The dishonesty, the way his uncle treated him. And he recognized that God protected him. And obviously the dream gives the details on how God did that for him, as Laban would change appearance of the sheep and the goats as to what he could keep and what he couldn't keep. And every time he changed it, that's what would be born according to Laban's description. You want to mess with God? You're going to lose. You'll lose every time. So, the changing of wages, the reference back to that, obviously recalls what he said to his wives. That incident, at that time, that conversation, reflected Jacob's spiritual growth as has occurred over 20 years. So 49, now the second reference here to the 20 years of service by Jacob is designed to evidence the real spiritual character between himself and his uncle. In this case, one abuses authority, the other is subservient to authority. God's big on authority. And how one deals with authority goes a long ways, or doesn't, in regards to God's attitude towards the person. And while authority may be abusive, if those under authority are misacclimated, maladjusted, God will tend to support authority anyways. So, orientation, acclimation to authority is essential in regards to spiritual matriculation, advance in regards to one's life. From the ground up, God establishes all authority. 51, 20 years, Jacob has grown spiritually. His uncle ends the 20-year tenure still a thief and a cheat. Here's the difference. Now, Jacob walked into the barnyard there, green, spiritually immature, big time, running under his STA, running away from his STA. 20 years has passed. What's the difference? He's oriented to God's plan for his life. He recognizes God's hand in his life, protecting him in spite of everything that his uncle has done to try to discourage him, as well as trip him up. God's taken care of him. And hence he has grown immensely. Laban is the same character that he was when Abraham's servant showed up to find Rebekah. Still the money-greedy, avarice-driven believer. There is no indication of him getting hold of his STA and seeking to make adjustments otherwise. And again, obviously, probably the biggest thing in your face and change to Jacob is his passive, fearful nature previously back at the house, and as he arrives in regards to Haran, and now the boldness that he has in regards to confronting his uncle in front of all of their relatives. Courage, see. Bible doctrine gives you spiritual courage, and it enlightens you in regards to its proper use. Takes discernment. So Jacob has grown spiritually in 20 years. His uncle ends a 20-year tenure, still a thief and a cheat, changing his wages 10 times in 6 years. 52, now, who is the reversionist? Who's a reversionist here? If I got to tell you, then you need to go back and reread my notes again. Pray harder about it. 53, God saw Jacob's plight and overbearing unethical nature of his uncle and made sure in the end that Jacob was vindicated for his diligence and faith. It doesn't always end up like this in time. But ultimately, always in eternity, the adjusted believer will be vindicated for having to put up with the BS of the maladjusted people around them otherwise, if they'll stay oriented in regards to doctrine. Otherwise, God will still protect and ensure the spiritual integrity and ongoing matriculation and advancement in regards to the believer in time. So Jacob here, in the final 6 years, obviously was greatly vindicated for his due diligence. Fifty-four. For the spiritually astute, they can critique which believer is adjusted or not, as the evidence is there. Look at their history, and look where they're at today. Look where they were to begin with. Obviously, most of us could say, I may still have the same personality, but I'm not the same person I was 20, 30 years ago. See. This is the fourth end of verse 42. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been for me, surely now you have sent me away empty-handed. Lule Elohim of Elohim Abraham, Wow, Pakad, Isaac, Hayah, Lamed, Ki, Atah, Rekam, Shalak. So 56, Jacob here critiques Laban, recognizing that not for the intercession of God, even now Laban would reclaim Jacob's property, his family, and send him on with only the clothes on his back. If God had not stepped in and put the fear of God, if you will, in Laban, in that dream, Laban would have found a way by force, if necessary, to recapture all that Jacob owns and has in regards to his family and property. And he would have said, yeah, go on home, but you'll come just like you left. You'll leave just like you came into the situation. Came into the world naked, you leave naked. Whatever. Not necessarily, but you get the idea. So, Laban is still a thief and a chief after 20 years, and he's still uncompassionate. Has no grace. Still a jackass in regards to treating others. But in spite of being a jackass, Jacob oriented. This is why he was picked as the heir between him and Esau. It is phase two positive volition. See? He oriented. God had to kind of take him through the knot hole backwards to a certain degree. But he got there. From no compassion to no compassion characterizes Laban. He didn't lift a hand to help Jacob throughout all these years and did everything he could to dishonor him, basically, and cause him to go broke. Controlling, to manipulating. He's a control freak, Laban is. It's part of his SCA portfolio. No compassion. And if it had been given his way, if God had not overruled in this situation, he would have still reflected that in sitting Jacob away empty-handed. 58, even a slave that had served his master 6 years under the law was not to be sent away empty-handed. How much more so a member of the family in Jacob's position? Family is Laban's gods, right? Ancestor worship. He worships his family. And this is how he treats his God. See. Deuteronomy 15, 12 through 14. If your kinsman, a Hebrew man or a woman, is sold to you, often they might be purchased to get them out of debt, to pay a debt to someone else, enslave themselves for that purpose, then he shall serve you 6 years. And in the seventh year, you will set him free. That was not to go on indefinitely. And when you set him free, you shall not send him away empty-handed. Even though, obviously, the master has already taken the money that he bought him with and took care of his debt otherwise. You shall furnish him, verse 14, liberally from your flock and from your threshing floor and from your wine vat. That indicates over and beyond Living Grace blessing, the wine vat. See? You shall give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. And that's what Laban should have been doing in regards to Jacob. By the end of the 14 years, Jacob should have been wealthy in and of its own right. Just from the blessing that God had dumped on Laban, and Laban being the adjusted believer he should have been. At least not in need of anything. So, again, hypocrisy just jumps out at you in regards to Laban and the type of character he was. 59, God overruled Laban's cruelty in the final 6 years of Jacob's tenure when he tweaked the genetics of the mating flock so the newborn would be according to the most recent agreement. Even though Laban was not conducive to the application of the doctrine, it did not stop God from blessing Jacob otherwise. And that's part of the divine discipline that came on Laban in regards to his failure to extend the grace of doctrine otherwise to Jacob. Being stingy, being miserly, cheating him. His own flesh and blood, if you will. So Jacob, point 60, bears witness to the one that overturned or overruled, if you will, Laban's greed and made Jacob a rich man. So this functions, if you will, as a witness in regards to what God did for him on his behalf and his positive volition. In spite of what you are, Uncle Laban. My notation here. Jacob bears witness in reality, not some supposed religious insight. The lip service of Laban saying, I have divined that Yahweh has blessed me because of you. Paraphrasing. The real witness, witness of life is in action, not just words. 62, now the phraseology here is noteworthy. In Jacob's words here in verse 42. 63, compare the words back in Jacob's dream back in 28, verse 13, where Yahweh says, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. As he now makes reference to the God of my father, God of Abraham. And then he says here, his father obviously being Isaac, then he says, the fear of Isaac. 64, the words back in the dream in chapter 28, on his way to Haran, were spoken to a fleeing and STA-driven Jacob. And as we saw in the dream, he missed at least some of the interpretation, correct interpretation, regardless of what was going on. That's just how immature he was. How befuddled, how far his head was up the flesh in regards to not being spiritually astute. Whatever that means. His head was up his STA. Is that where your head's at? The words back in 28:13 are words, point 65, a generational and providential protection. And now, over 20 years, he can look back and go, man, you're talking about protection. Continuation and generational blessing. Look what God's done for me. But it took 20 years. I hear a lot of people, they get on doctrine, oh, my whole life's going to change now. Maybe they think, I'm on doctrine, and now, you know, I'm going to really be prosperous, or whatever. You know, of course, that fallacy is often tried to be sold through churches to people. Now, it takes a while, but I guarantee you, you hang in there, you will find blessing in time. And you'll recognize it as such. And it'll be all sufficient on top of it all. Now, of most notable interest here is the reference to God as, quote, the fear of Isaac. What's that mean? This is reference to Isaac's spiritual adjustment of recognizing that Jacob was the appointed heir to the covenant by God, as prophesied to Rebekah during Jacob's deception of fooling his father who he was, back in 27 verses 1 through 29. In that whole ordeal, when it became to Isaac's realization that this was not Esau, it was Jacob, he shook. He was terrified because he recognized God's hand in that deal. As evil as what Jacob did to him otherwise was, he saw God's hand. How big of an error he was really on the road to make. I mean, that's what it really points to. He is getting ready to, you know, try to trip God up completely in regards to God's already promised word of who would be heir by making Esau the heir. And when it came to the recognition that God saw through that, and he jammed him big time in such a way, it woke Isaac up. Bad things that happen in life are not always a catastrophe. Often, they can be a very big blessing spiritually. See? If it wakes you up, it brings to surface a population that has become cavalier or almost dormant otherwise in life. But obviously, one has to be positive on their own. So, 27:33. Denotes the promise of Jacob being the heir over Esau. It was prophesied to his mom Rebekah back in chapter 25, verse 23. So 68. He is calling upon the God of his father and Abraham and the fear of Isaac in regards to Jacob is in regards to his own protection and well-being and blessing, and even protecting him now, especially at this point in time juncture in his life. So 68, just as Isaac's spiritual eyes were open, so as Jacob's position awakened over the past 20 years. With Isaac, it was obviously fairly instantaneously. With Jacob, it took a while. And that's the way it is with people. Not everybody's the same. Some people might respond immediately to certain things in life. Others, it may take them a while. You got to wish for one wife and have to live with two for a while before they wake up. What did I do? Nothing against the wives. But you get the drift. I mean, the humor's there. You can't pass that up. At least I can't. But the issue is, do people wake up? Do they get their spiritual act together? Do they continue to grow and matriculate otherwise in life? And obviously, the evidence in regards to Jacob's spiritual matriculation is now his obedience to God to go back to Canaan and re-engage in regards to his geographical will, which he must do at this point in time in his life to finish out his course until the very end when he takes the Jewish race and puts them in the realm of Egypt. That's all for a different reason. As God's geographical will there. So just as Isaac's spiritual eyes were opened, so as Jacob's positive position awakened over the past 20 years, 69. But how about Laban? How about Laban? 70, only by the fear of God, via the dream the night before, was he willing to forego his agenda. That was enough to shake him to the core, to pull in his horns, so to speak. To not follow through in regards to forcing Jacob to turn over all of his goods and property and family and take them back home with him and to otherwise impede Jacob's return back to the land. Didn't say anything in that regards. It's another one of those little things you just, if you don't just kind of come about and thinking about these things. See, before he was divining, he was playing with his little gods in life, trying to come up with his own spiritual insight in regards to these things. And then all of a sudden, Yahweh actually appears to him. Yeah, that'll shake you to the core. So, anyway. Other than that, Laban reflects a believer that is just as driven by an unbridled SCA as he was 20 years ago, that is no spiritual growth. So again, who's the reversionist here? 72, this is the consequence of religious reversionism. 73, it's all about appearance with no substantial spiritual advancement. I don't care how much they may emote otherwise and tell you how much they love Jesus. Let's look at their history. Let's see what they're doing in regards to application of Bible doctrine across the board. Where have they been? What have they been doing? How have they overcome and been victorious over the SCA otherwise in life? And again, it doesn't mean that we don't recognize isolated sins and failures apart from that. We do. But overall, in spite of how men may evaluate men, God sees these things because He is omniscient, His foreknowledge. He can perfectly anticipate. He can perfectly pick out who the covenant heir and heirs are to be, etc., in life, in regards to his plan for mankind. And no matter how others may critique or evaluate the positive adjusted believer, God sees what's in everybody's hearts. And He sees truly what kind of volition they possess. They're trying to fake people out, or if it's real. And generally speaking, people will ultimately generally show their true colors. So in spite of how men may evaluate God, God sees these things. 75, just as he saw Jacob's affliction or oppression, or Hebrew ani, under the unrighteous regime of his negative uncle, and the continued perseverance of action with honor by Jacob, evidenced in the phrase, to toil my hands. That represents his ongoing perseverance and due diligence and dedication to doing what is right before God. The toil of my hands. Yes. We'll be able to stand at the bema seat if we complete our course and hold to the end, and the rewards and the phrase will be applicable even then. The toil of our hands.
See?
What we've done to maintain our own spiritual advancement and fulfilling God's plan for our life. See? Through application. And why it's not a yoke that one cannot bear, it does demand work. It takes effort. And sometimes it may leave a few calluses here and there. Toil of my hands in the Hebrew is the yagi akaf. The palm of my hands is the palm is what's emphasized here, denoting the real work ethics, not power or whatever as hands may otherwise portray. 76, now the final phrase, so he rendered judgment last night. Jacob's final words here, Yakak Enesh, confirms God's stance in affirmation of blessing Jacob's positive volition and condemning Laban's negative volition. God affirmed Jacob's positive volition before Laban. The thing is, all of our positive volition will be confirmed before and attested before every man of the human race. From the bema seat to the great white throne judgment, your positive volition will be attested and affirmed. See? Negative volition, on the other end of the term, will face the condemnation and loss to whatever degree it might be as a maladjusted believer to the unbeliever, which the latter obviously being the worst hole to be in. 77, God himself condemned Laban's idolatrous reversionism because it produced nothing more than a self-serving STA powered agenda. Traditions of men, that's what it promotes. It is self-serving. It is what they can do to avoid their responsibility before God under the terms of Bible doctrine. They find another avenue, another path to take that facilitates their emotions or SGA, etc., in that vein, and human viewpoint philosophies. And it's running on your SGA is nothing more than self-serving. It's nothing more than trying to satisfy the flesh. That's the way it's pictured. That's the reality. 77, biblical truth promotes servitude and application in regards to others. That's why we as a church exist in part. Not only to grow up spiritually, but to function as a body in service to one another. Just as intimately and as connected as your hand is to your arm, to your shoulder, your head, to your neck and your torso, etc., of your own body. How important we consider each one of these aspects of our body. That's what we're about. See? So, an application towards one another, the love of the brothers. Another of the same kind, heteros in the Greek. How many times have we seen that in the New Testament writing? To love one another of the same kind. That's emphasizing the love of the body. I've seen it happen, and it's very unsettling as people will basically split from the body, no real compassion for the body as a whole, just because one member of the body does something that maybe is legitimately out of line, but they want to destroy the whole body because of that. No, we're all part of the same. We have one goal. If you don't think that God can't take care of one part of the body, He can take care of all of it. You know, again, that's that whole idea of contempt for doctrine in the name of doctrine. So God Himself, point 77 again, condemned Laban's idolatrous reversionism because it produced nothing more than a self-serving STA parrot agenda. 78, in turn, He overruled Laban, turned the tables on him to evidence His divine pleasure with positive volition and then displeasure with His negative volition. See, all this is designed to be a spiritual wake-up call for any positive volition that may be there. God has shown Laban, I'm not pleased with you right now. Otherwise, why did He give him the warning, stopping him dead in his tracks in regards to his agenda? But if one's not positive, you know, it's not going to have the benefit, truly, except for positive volition. Who benefits out of all this? Not negative volition, not Laban, positive volition. This then explains the whole meaning of Jacob's time out of the land in terms of his preservation and wealth. That is, he was phase two, adhering to the precepts of Bible doctrine in light of cosmic oppression. That's how you can basically summarize his time out of the land. He was out in the world. And he came under the unscrupulous, negative uncle Laban in this regard. And he continued to grow and persevere in regards to doctrine and application in his life. And God did just what He promised He would do. He preserved him, protected him, and He blessed him in all that He did. So it appears to me, I mean, it just has a, for the 2 cents that it may be worth to you, that it didn't take long for Jacob after he left Canaan and his parents to start recognizing just how bad he was back then and how out of line he was. Jacob's rebuke here serves as a profound opportunity for Laban to reconsider his wayward life. A positive just believer rebukes a negative reversionistic believer in regards to an aspect of their life that they need to wake up to reorient in regards to doctrine. That's a call. See, it's a call that's evangelizing for reversion recovery. And this was a prime opportunity for Laban. But that's not how it ends. That's because as a believer, Laban remains negative in regards to his life. Phase two. And all that comes out in regards to the testament of the covenant that he proposes to Jacob in his following words, as we'll see. So, you know, you make your witness the best of your ability, maybe in a situation where you have to defend your own character, your own reputation, etc. The opportunity to present the truth towards one who is otherwise out of line, you know, understand it's going to fall on what kind of a soul that the individual possesses, and the reaction will be accordingly. If they're positive, they'll have a positive benefit to it ultimately. If not, it will not. They'll continue to go on their way, just like the Pharaoh of Egypt. God showed him over and over and over again who he was. And all it did was make the Pharaoh more obstinate, more stubborn, and more hardcore negative. You got to recognize that. 81, for one ultimately positive, it would have spiritual benefit. But for the negative, it just further sears their conscience. Two, evidence for Laban's volition will be seen in his reaction in the following verses. 83, the rebuke in truth leaves Laban feeling defenseless and offended, as boxed in a corner with only a response of verbal bravado to try and save face. He'll turn around and once again, he'll try to beat his chest. And it's just the way negative volition is in regards to confronting the truth of doctrine, especially in certain areas of life that they don't want to align with. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light these things. In Jesus' name, amen.